Hey, good evening. It's Wednesday evening, and it's time for Wednesday evening Bible study. I truly appreciate and love each and every one of you. I thank you for joining in with our studies. I thank you for your prayers of praise for me, for this ministry unto Daddy. I thank you for your encouraging words, your uplifting letters and messages and texts. What a blessing you all are. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So today with our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going to be, you know, expanding on Sunday's message. So this isn't going to be all I shared from on Sunday. These are going to be additional thoughts. So I encourage you to go back to Sunday's message, put Sunday's message with this message, and you're going to have a better understanding and a better revelation of what I believe the Lord is speaking to us. And so we're going to begin, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 20, and I'm going to read it for you. If you want to follow it along, I encourage you. It's going to be chapter 20, verses 1 through 25. The beautiful accounting of what happened right after the resurrection, right after our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was risen from the grave, risen from the dead. And this is what this chapter is about. So we begin with verse 1, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. The first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved. That's John talking about himself. And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. I mean, that's really important. Remember that. And we know not yet where they have laid him. In fact, I'm going to highlight that. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to, let's call it a tomb, it's a lot easier, to the tomb. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, that's John talking about himself, did outrun Peter. John was in better shape, and came first to the tomb. And stooping down, he looked in and saw the linen cloths lying, yet he did not enter. Then followed Peter, and he went into the tomb and seeth the linen cloths lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped neatly in a place all by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, this John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the tomb, or the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. They knew not yet that scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Verse 10, Then the disciples went away again unto their own homes. They went again to their own homes. You would think if they really believed and understood that Jesus had been raised from the dead, just like he said he would, they would have not gone to their own homes. They would have all gotten together and had a shouting hallelujah party. Okay, very interesting, very, very important to understand that. But Mary stood without at the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why are you crying? And she said to them, Because they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have laid him. And when she had said that, she turned backwards and saw Jesus standing there. Listen to this. And she knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. She thought he was the gardener, and said unto him, Sir, if you have taken him somewhere, please tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned back and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She then knew. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Then Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And you would think, even at that point, they would have all hurried to get and gather up each other, you know, and have a hallelujah shouting, rejoicing party. No, but they did. Then later that same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, you think if you knew your Savior was risen from the dead, risen from the grave, and somebody had seen him and reported the sighting, that you would still be living in fear? No, do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, they went out into the streets and they were preaching and they weren't afraid of anybody. They weren't afraid of anything. They weren't afraid of the Sanhedrin. They weren't afraid of the high priest. But yet it says they were hiding and they were in fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said unto them, Peace be with you. And he said, and he had so said, he showeth unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Do you realize how powerful that is? And when he had so said, he showed them the nail prints in his hands and the wounds of his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Even when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not yet them when Jesus came. Was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now we know what happened later on in the story. Jesus comes and addresses Thomas. And Jesus says the same thing he said to the disciples some days ago. See the nail prints in my hands. Okay? Touch them. See the piercing of my side. And what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Now, what does Jesus say after that? We know what Jesus said. He said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. But Thomas, blessed are those who believe without seeing. You know, Sunday, the message was titled, Put Thomas Out of the House. Let Thomas be gone. Now, Thomas gets a bad rap. But to be honest with you, he wasn't looking for anything else, right, out of what the other disciples needed to see. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. When you look at what it says, when it says, and when he had said so, and when he had so said, this is verse 20, he showed the disciples that were gathered together his hands and his side. And it indicates in chapter 20 and verse 20 that it was only after that that they rejoiced and they were glad and they believed that they were looking at the Lord. So Thomas gets a bad rep from religion. Oh, don't be a doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas, right? Poor Thomas. You know, and I explained this in my message, even though the title was Put Thomas Out. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But the other disciples had to see, had to be shown the same thing. The nail prints in his hands and the piercing of his side. Mary is speaking with him. Mary, the one who had the demons cast out of her. Mary, the one who loved Jesus so much. Mary, the one that followed him to the cross. Mary, you know she had to know his voice, right? One of her senses, she can hear. She had to know his voice. When I talk to my mother in Florida on the phone, I'm not looking at her, I'm not seeing her, but I'm hearing her. I know her voice. It's unmistakable. Is that the word? Unmistakable? You know? When I talk to my son Brandon or my son Stephen or my daughter Allison on the phone, I don't see them. I hear their voice. I know it's them. But Jesus is speaking to her. Now, not only that, I would have had to know what he looks like. I've been with him for years. I've been with him. I've followed him. You know, the disciples, you know, me, his mother, we followed him. I know what he looks like. But yet, she was looking at him, and she was hearing him, and she didn't know it was him. Think about this. I think John has given himself a little bit more credit here when he said he looked, and he believed, because the verse right after that, it tells us, for they yet did know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Why would John say, for as of yet, we did not know the scriptures that said he must rise again? So John is saying, oh, he believed, but as of yet, I didn't know the scripture that said he would rise again. So I think John has given himself a little bit more credit. Then it says, verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Like I said before, you think if John believed the way he is indicating, I believe he's given himself more credit. You know, you would have thought that he would have got the boys together. I like to call them the boys. He would have gotten the gang together. And he was, I know it, I believe it. This is what he said. This is what happened. This is why the linen cloths were neatly folded and the headdress was neatly folded. Neatly folded. Somebody didn't take that body. Somebody didn't steal that body. What do you think? They were going to steal the body. They were going to remove the tombstone, and they were going to take the time, and they were going to be in a hurry. Oh, and then there were guards. There were Roman guards, you know, and they had to do this quickly. And so do you think they had time to remove the linen cloths? No, they would have grabbed them up and taken them with everything. Think about it logically. And if they did remove the headdressing, and if they did remove the other linen, the linen cloths, they would have just, what would you have done? You take it off, you throw it. No. but they were folded neatly. Someone is in a great hurry. Someone who is a thief, someone who is attempting to steal, someone who is attempting, you know, to ruin this resurrection story, someone who is out to put this to death, take this body so this resurrection story would go away, take it away, hide it, bury it, put it. You think they would take the time to neatly fold the head linen, the head dressing, and the other linens? No. So what am I saying here? You know, oftentimes I have thought, wow, it would be so awesome and so wonderful just to be there with him and to see, what they saw. Think about how many times Jesus addressed the boys, the gang, the disciples, and said to them, "Oh, ye of little faith," or "if you had faith." Think about the disciples in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus and John and James and Peter are at the Mount of Transfiguration with a visitation from Moses and Elijah with Jesus where he's transfigured. The remaining nine were not there. And remember, the Father, who's heard about Jesus and also his disciples, brought his son, who was plagued with an evil spirit. This is Mark chapter 9. You can read it. And they brought him to Jesus. They brought him to the disciples. And the disciples could not heal him. And what happened was, the son threw himself to the ground. And he had a seizure and shook violently. Gurgling noise, gurgling sounds from his mouth, foaming from the mouth, as if the spirit demon that was in him was trying to just destroy his body. And they got scared. They got scared. Later on, they asked Jesus, "Why could not we do it?" And he said, "Because of your lack of faith." That word belief and the word faith is the same word, pistis. So Jesus is saying, because of your lack of faith, because of your lack of belief. And really it's indicating because you did not have faith and because you did not have belief. Think about Mark chapter 4, the end of Mark chapter 4. Now, they have seen miracles. They have seen the miraculous, okay? They know about the wedding of Cana. I mean, who could take 10 cleansing pots filled with water, fill them with water, fill them to the brim? How many tens of gallons of water in each cleansing pot? Fill them to the brim. And scoop out a cupful and bring it to the master of ceremonies. And when he did, the master of ceremonies recognized it was the best wine he had ever tasted. John chapter 2, read it. I mean, who does this? Who can do this? I'm thinking, okay, if I heard about that, or if I seen it take place, because he was at the wedding with several of the disciples, several of the boys, several of the gang. I mean, wouldn't that cause you to have faith? Wouldn't that cause you to believe? What about the healing of the nobleman's son at the point of death? And just with the word, Jesus speaks, and he's healed. and he's healed. Now we know that before Mark, see Mark chapter 4, it's chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark, but there's a lot that takes place that Mark doesn't cover that you could read about in Matthew, okay, and in John. So they were privy to many a miracle. They saw many a miracle. They saw and heard of many a miracle. I'm going to make a point. Think about it. The end of chapter 4. They're in the boat. They're in the boat. Because Jesus said, we have to get to the other side. We have an appointment. I talked about that last Wednesday night. The demoniac that had, you know, thousands of demon spirits in him. Jesus was on an appointment. Grace was on an appointment to bring healing and wholeness. Oh my gosh, our great shepherd who will leave the 90, he will go to the one, he will find the one, he will search for the one, he will heal and make whole and bring refreshment and bring peace to the, okay. So anyway, they're in a boat, he's sleeping, we talked about this, he's sleeping, and a storm rises up. Because we know the enemy will do all he can to keep you from where you need to be. But he can't. He's powerless. He's powerless if you become like Jesus and go to sleep and rest. Rest in him. Rest in his promises. Remember, we're doing studies in the morning on Psalms 23, Pastor Lenny's translation. And one of the things that our Jesus does is he rests us. He puts us in a place of rest. And so they're afraid. They're afraid. I guess they never read Psalm 23. Do you understand? They never read Psalm 23. I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Right? Though you lead me into the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. They forgot Psalm 23. They forgot Isaiah, where it talks about, you know, if I go through the flood, you know, I will not drown. If I pass through the fire, I will not be burned. So they forgot that. They forgot those verses. They're scared. They think their life's on the line. So they wake him up. Jesus gets up. And he speaks to the storm. Now, you know what? Jesus didn't have to go, I am the Son of God. Storm, you stop. No, he didn't. He just, peace be still. Jesus, you know, you know, the inflection, I think that is, the inflection of our voices doesn't move God. Or doesn't, you know, make things happen faster or better or easier. Peace be still. Storm's calm. What did he say again there? Oh, you of no faith. Where's your faith? No faith. So what happens? I believe he went back to sleep. But as he's sleeping, as they're sitting in wherever their positions were on that boat, the boat is going to the other side. They're talking amongst each other. Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? See, we're thinking that, oh, wow, to be with him. They were with him. They saw miracle after miracle, okay? They saw the multitudes being healed. Things that never took place before. Water. How does water become wine? Water can't become wine. Healing someone by just sending the word. I mean, no faith, no belief, even though they're with him. So, what am I getting at? Put Thomas to rest. Put Thomas to sleep. Send Thomas out of the house. And like I said, he gets a bad rap, but all the disciples, Mary, everybody was in the same position. Mary didn't know it was Jesus. Mary didn't know, you know, she was looking at Jesus. Can you imagine that? Mary didn't know she was listening to Jesus. When Jesus appeared, he walked through the walls. He just walked through the walls. That would have been enough for me. Wouldn't that have been enough for you? Seeing that? Don't you think that would have been enough for you? Do you think they ever in their lives saw someone walking through the wall? But yet it wasn't until he said, look, see. Why did he have to do that? Why did he have to say that? They still weren't in faith. They still weren't believing. Why did he have to say, look at the nail prints of my hands? Guys, it's me. Look at the piercing of my... Then they believed. They were no different than Thomas. They were no different than Mary. They were no different than anybody. But I just used Thomas for ha-has. Thomas, if you could hear me, you got a bad rap, but you were just like everybody else. And what was everybody like? What was everybody else like? They weren't born again. They weren't born anew. Yes, they walked with Jesus for several years, but they still were well-trained in their five senses. They had to see it. They had to hear it. They had to touch it before they can believe it. That's what the five senses tell us. They were well-trained in the five senses. Their lives were governed by the five senses. Well, what do we see? What does the clouds look like? What does the sun, what does it look like? You know, are we hearing thunder? Like, what are our senses telling us? Our senses are telling us, forget about going, you know, yachting today. You know, they depended upon their senses for everything. It's hard to develop faith. It's hard to be, in fact, I'm sorry, I messed that up. It's impossible to have the faith of God. It's impossible to have the activation of faith. It's impossible to believe that you receive. Being so well taught and brought up and so depending upon five senses. This is why we say, put Thomas out. And what we mean by that, put Thomas out, is put your five senses out. Put your five senses to rest. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. What is that saying? We walk as by the Spirit and not by the senses or the flesh. This is why it says, true sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit. Those that are in the flesh, five senses, are against God. They cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. But so many times, we neglect to put Thomas out of the house. Thomas, out of the house, where we don't look to our five senses, and we look to the truth of the reality of the Word of God. We have been delivered from the domain of darkness. Where in that domain of darkness, our senses ruled, and our senses could not have the faith, and could not have the belief, and could not have the understanding. But at born again, we were delivered from that domain and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, all the promises of God that are yes and amen, all the realities of his promises, all the realities of his provision, all the realities of his goodness and his faithfulness and of his love is spiritually discerned. It's not discerned by the flesh. And yet so many of us are still living with our Thomases. We're still living in the five senses. The five senses can't please God. The five senses can't attain that activation of faith. The five senses can't attain that activation of belief. That those five senses, the five senses cannot cause us to live and dwell in the kingdom of God. They will keep us in our need. Now, the disciples had an excuse. If anyone can have an excuse, they had an excuse. They were not born again. They were not born from above. They were not new creations. We are. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living and dwelling in us. We are led by that spirit. And now we have our souls that used to depend upon the five senses, no longer depend on the five senses. So stop depending upon the five senses. Now we have our souls, which are dependent upon the true word of God and the leading of the Spirit. And that's where the activation of faith comes from. That speaks to our mountain and tells our mountain to be uprooted and to be cast into the sea. And it listens and it obeys through the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. The Spirit that tells us, the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has freed us. The Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, the law that governs my life now, has freed me from the law of sin and of death, which once governed me. And my five senses allowed it to govern me. Now, my five senses are slaves to the true reality of what has taken place at Born Again. And I will never allow my five senses to take me back. My five senses become a slave to the truthfulness of my new life in Christ, of my living in the kingdom of God, of the fact that the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. It's 32 minutes, so I have to bring this to a close. I hope this study blessed you. I know it blessed me. It has spoken to me and it is speaking to me. And I am walking by faith and not by sight. I am walking by the Spirit. My five senses become a slave. Let your five senses become a slave to the new you, which has been created in the exact image, duplicate copy of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit. Pastor Lenny saying, I love you. I'm looking forward to spending 10 with Pastor Len with you tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Mm-hmm.